Ever feel like you know when you think you're done with something and then it like pops back up again?
Oh, yeah.
Like you think a problem's gone and then bam, it's back.
Right.
That's kind of what we're talking about today, but like in the legal world.
Okay.
Specifically this idea of double jeopardy, which is, you can't be tried for the same crime twice.
Right.
So we're diving deep into a Supreme Court case, Benton v. Maryland from 1969.
Okay.
It had a huge impact on what double jeopardy means in state courts.
I see.
So before Benton v. Maryland, whether or not you could be tried twice for the same crime really depended on like, were you in federal court or state court?
Wow.
And this case kind of like made things the same across the board.
So it's standardized things.
Exactly. We're going to unpack all the details of John Benton's case and really try to understand, what Benton means for your rights.
Sounds good.
So to make sense of all this, we've got the court records and some really insightful legal analysis. Let's rewind back to 1965 Maryland. What happened to this guy, John Benton?
All right, so in 1965, John Benton was on trial in Maryland, and he was charged with both burglary and larceny.
Okay.
But here's where it gets a little tricky.
All right.
The jury actually found him not guilty of the larceny,
Oh.
but they convicted him of burglary, which got him a 10-year prison sentence.
So you would think that would be the end of it, at least for the larceny charge.
Right, you would think so.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, but shortly after Benton's trial, the Maryland Court of Appeals, they made this really important decision in a completely different case.
Okay.
They struck down a rule that required jurors to say they believed in God.
Huh.
And this was actually a rule in the Maryland Constitution.
Wow, so this was like a big deal.
Oh yeah, this was huge. And guess what?
Right.
The jury in Benton's case, they were picked under this same rule.
Oh no, the rule they just said was no good.
Exactly.
So that's not good for Benton.
Not at all, because now the way his jury was chosen was basically illegal.
Oh man, so what happened next?
Well, he got an opportunity for a new trial.
Because of this jury problem.
Exactly. You see, since the jury selection was flawed, he could ask for a do-over, basically.
And he did.
He did. He wanted to try and fight that burglary conviction.
Okay, makes sense.
Here's the kicker. When he went back for the second trial, the prosecution in the end, they decided to hit him with both charges again.
Both. So they brought back the larceny charge, even though he was found not guilty the first time.
Yep, they did.
That doesn't seem right.
Well, Benton thought so too.
Yeah, I bet.
He objected right away. He said, "Look, being tried again for this larceny thing, that's double jeopardy."
Right. You can't do that.
You'd think so,
Okay.
but the trial court didn't agree with him. They
What?
allowed the retrial on both charges.
Oh, man. That's rough. So what happened in the second trial?
This time it didn't go well for Benton. He ended up being convicted of both burglary and larceny.
Oh, wow.
And the worst part, he got a harsher sentence this time.
Even worse than the first time.
Yep, 15 years for the burglary and 5 for the larceny.
Oh, man. So they tacked on more years.
They did.
Yeah.
But the sentences were to be served at the same time.
Concurrent sentences.
Right.
Okay, so obviously Benton is not happy with this outcome.
Of course not.
So he appeals the case, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And he focuses specifically on that double jeopardy violation with the larceny charge.
Makes sense. You can't just ignore being tried twice for the same thing.
Right. But the Maryland courts, they weren't buying it. They rejected his argument.
Oh, wow. So they just said no.
Pretty much.
That's when the big leagues step in.
That's right. The Supreme Court steps in and says, "We'll hear this case."
Granting certiorari.
Exactly.
So at this point, what were like the main legal questions that the Supreme Court was dealing with?
Well, there were two really big questions.
Okay, hit me.
The first, and this one's super important even today, is does the Fifth Amendment's double jeopardy clause even apply to state courts?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, the Bill of Rights, it was originally all about limiting the federal government, right?
Exactly. So the question was, is the 14th Amendment like this bridge that extends that double jeopardy protection to the states too?
Oh, that's interesting. It's like saying the states can't just do whatever they want when it comes to double jeopardy.
Precisely. And then the second question was more about Benton's specific situation.
Okay, what was that?
Did Maryland violate the double jeopardy clause by retrying him for larceny after he was already found not guilty?
So, two big questions. One about the big picture of double jeopardy in states, and the other about whether Benton's rights were actually violated.
Exact.
Suspenseful. So, what did the Supreme Court decide?
They were very clear. Their answer to both questions was a big yes.
Wow, no messing around.
Not at all. They said the double jeopardy clause of the Fifth Amendment absolutely applies to the states through the 14th Amendment.
So that 14th Amendment is like a bridge protecting people from being tried twice, no matter where they are.
That's a great way to put it. And based on that, they said retrying Benton for larceny was completely unconstitutional.
That's a pretty huge win for Benton.
It was. It really set a precedent for protecting people from being put in double jeopardy.
And you mentioned earlier this kind of overturned a previous case, Palko v. Connecticut. Can you explain that a bit?
Absolutely. So Palko v. Connecticut, that was back in 1937. And it was a really important case because it introduced this idea of selective incorporation.
Selective incorporation? What's that all about?
It basically meant that only certain rights in the Bill of Rights, those considered like super duper fundamental, applied to the states.
Oh, so not all rights were treated equally.
Not exactly. They had to be implicit in the concept of ordered liberty. That was the standard.
Okay, that sounds like a pretty high bar.
It was. And the court in Palko specifically said double jeopardy. It didn't meet that bar.
So they didn't think it was fundamental enough.
Right.
Wow, that's kind of wild to think about now.
It is. But in Benton Justice Marshall, he was the one who wrote the majority opinion. And he basically said, hold on. This double jeopardy thing, it's a fundamental principle of justice. It's a big deal.
So he was pushing back against that selective incorporation idea?
He was. He thought it watered down these crucial rights. And by overturning Palko on this counter, Benton became part of a much bigger trend.
What trend was that?
The incorporation doctrine.
Okay, this is like the third time we're talking about this incorporation doctrine. Can you give us like a quick breakdown for our listeners who might not be legal experts?
Sure. So basically, the Warren Court during the 1960s, they were all about expanding individual rights, especially in criminal cases.
Okay.
And they used the 14th Amendment to apply more and more parts of the Bill of Rights to the states.
So it was like they were saying these rights apply everywhere, not just in federal court.
Exactly. Think about famous cases like Gideon v. Wainwright. That's the one that guarantees you the right to a lawyer, even if you can't afford one.
Right. And that applies in state courts, too, because of the 14th Amendment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's Map v. Ohio, which says illegally obtained evidence can't be used in state courts.
So Benson, it fits into this whole movement of making sure states can't offer weaker protections when it comes to these fundamental rights.
Precisely.
So the court said double jeopardy applies to the states. But what was their reasoning for saying it was unconstitutional to retry Benton specifically for larceny?
They leaned heavily on the idea that an acquittal, it's final. It's like a full stop.
Once you're acquitted, that's it. You're done.
Exactly. The state doesn't get a second bite of the apple.
I like that analogy.
And to get to this conclusion, they looked back at a previous case, Green v. United States.
What happened in Green?
So in that case, the guy Green, he was charged with all these serious crimes. First-degree murder, second-degree murder, and arson.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. And the jury found him not guilty of first-degree murder, but guilty of second-degree murder.
So a mixed bag.
Right. But he appealed that second-degree murder conviction and won a new trial.
So he gets another chance.
He does. But here's the crazy part. In the retrial, they charged him with first-degree murder again.
The charge they already acquitted him of.
Yep. And the Supreme Court in Green, they said, no way. That's a double jeopardy violation.
Because they already decided he wasn't guilty of that specific charge.
Exactly. And the court in Benton said the same logic applies here. Benton was found not guilty of larceny in that first trial. That's the end of the story for that charge.
It's like if you're playing a game and you lose, but then you demand a rematch just because you didn't like how the ref called the game.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. There has to be a sense of finality.
It would be chaos otherwise.
Total chaos.
So were there any disagreements among the justices about this decision?
There were, actually.
Yeah.
Justice Harlan, he wrote a dissenting opinion.
What did he say?
His main point was that the court shouldn't have even got involved in this particular double jeopardy issue.
Why not?
He pointed to the concurrent sentence doctrine.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
It basically says that if someone gets a longer sentence for one crime, a shorter concurrent sentence for another crime doesn't really matter as much.
Oh, so since Benton got that longer sentence for burglary, Harlan thought the 5 years for larceny were like a drop in the bucket.
Exactly. Like, why bother even talking about it?
Interesting. But not everyone agreed with him, right?
Right. Justice White wrote a concurring opinion saying, hold on, even a concurrent conviction, it can still come back to bite you.
How so?
Well, it could affect things like parole or be used against you in some future legal case.
Oh, I see. So it's not just about how much time you serve. It's about the long-term consequences.
Exactly. And Justice White thought those potential consequences were serious enough for the court to take a look at the larceny conviction.
So two different perspectives on how big of a deal that concurrent sentence was.
Yeah. And Justice Harlan, he also had this bigger concern about the whole idea of incorporating rights from the Bill of Rights against the states.
Oh, right. He was kind of a stickler for states' rights.
He was. He thought the court was maybe moving too fast, and he preferred a more case-by-case approach.
So he wanted them to pump the brakes a little bit.
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting to see those different viewpoints playing out.
Definitely. It shows how complex these legal issues can be.
So to wrap things up, why is Benton v. Maryland still so important today?
Well, first off, it established once and for all that the Double Jeopardy Clause applies to the states.
No more of that selective incorporation stuff.
Right. No matter where you are, you can't be tried twice by the same government for the same crime after an acquittal. That's huge.
And what does that mean for everyday people?
It means prosecutors can't just keep throwing charges at you, even if you were found not guilty before.
So it's like a real safeguard against prosecutorial overreach.
Exactly. And it's part of that whole movement in the 1960s to really strengthen the rights of defendants in state courts.
So if you're ever facing criminal charges in state court, Benton v. Maryland has your back when it comes to double jeopardy.
That's a great way to put it.
So to sum it all up, what's the core takeaway here?
Simple. Whether you're in federal or state court, an acquittal means something. It's a powerful protection against being put through the ringer twice for the same crime.
That's a pretty comforting thought.
It is. It ensures that our justice system is fair and that individuals are protected from undue harassment by the government.
Wow, this has been a really enlightening deep dive. Thanks for breaking it all down for us.
My pleasure. It's so important for everyone to understand these fundamental rights.
Absolutely. And thanks to everyone for listening. We catch you next time.